I'm a skeptical person.
I'm a sucker for a great smile.
I was shocked too.
It's not the typical way that I like to date a man.
No.
You know, I'm just trying to find love. Least favorite part was living in a house full of women.
I'm ready to find love, find a husband.
The perfect word is
Rachel!
Cheese pasta!
That's what you wanted to say at the beginning?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, everyone. welcome to a very special episode of 25 to Life.
It's the most special. You know, we haven't done a tipsy episode in a while, and this is a very special occasion because it is the 100th episode.
Yay! I drank so much more than you did. It's not even close.
You did, but we also have added in my favorite DJ sound effect, and we've
one time only. This is not a regular thing.
No,
a special episode.
Yeah, this is just something that we've decided because we've lost our minds. So it's a very special episode of The Bachelorette as well. Rachel is going home to meet everybody's families, and 3 out of 4 of them aren't bad.
1 out of 4 will make you drink.
Oh, boy.
I was already there. You know what? We're having a good time. I'm full of pears today.
Yes, I'm full of skinny girl margaritas.
You're full of water and chemicals, whatever makes...
That's right.
Whatever makes skinny girl margaritas.
Stevia. No.
I don't know what's in
it. It's probably aspartame.
I don't know what's in it. Classic thing you say about something you enjoy and don't know why.
We've got a lot of things to talk about.
Four things to talk about.
Four things to talk about the hometown dates. But Adam, you know, we've been doing this show for 100 episodes. I mean, this is a milestone, fam.
Yeah, 100 episodes is a lot of episodes.
It's a lot. You know who has 100 episodes of their show? Friends.
Yeah. Yes.
Seinfeld.
Yeah.
The Simpsons.
It takes those people probably about the same amount of time as us to get through an episode.
Yeah.
You talk for an hour and then you edit for an hour.
It's exactly the same.
Yeah, it's about the same thing.
Totally. I mean, you know, we started this podcast when? 4 years ago? 5 years ago?
Yeah, five.
What's the math on that?
Four and a half, five.
5 years ago.
This is our ninth season.
This is our ninth season, and thank you for everybody that listens, and we really appreciate you, and this has been one of the greatest joys in my life. So thank you so much.
I have a good time, too, doing the show.
Okay.
In general.
All right.
We have 100 episodes.
I know, girl.
How many people have made 100 of anything? It's something.
It's a lot. There haven't even been 100 children born unto one woman.
I mean, that's like a 9-month gestation period. We're talking like a 2-hour.
The record is 69.
Is that serious?
Yeah. Have you seen that?
Did she have like one child and then 68 at the same time?
No, like she just started really early. I mean, you guys will have to read the Guinness Book of World Records. I'm so sorry. This episode is just going to be a mess. So let's get to the end of the road.
Let's go down the end of the road.
Let's do it.
It's Dean. Oh, poor Dean. Dean shows you exactly how good a person can be when their family is terrible.
You know, I feel like, you know, oh, God. I feel like if Dean had that conversation with his father at any other time, things might have been okay.
That was what did it then.
And I also think that, you know, Dean is 25, 26 years old. It seems as though a lot of the things that have gone on the show have been very impressionable decisions that probably were pressed upon him by the producers. So, at the same time, I also feel like if he didn't want Rachel to meet his family, I don't think he had to do that.
I'm not sure why that happened. They were probably like, Dean, dude, we gotta meet your family. He could have been like, haven't talked to him.
Yeah, haven't talked to
him. Can we just do my friends instead?
I don't want to do this.
That's happened before, right?
I think one of the last times that happened was Michelle Money. I don't think she had anybody meet her family. But, I mean, everybody pretty much...
That's an option.
Yeah, I mean, it's always an option. But again, you know, the people that are on this show are cast for their sort of, you know, traditional family values, that kind of thing. I mean, a lot of times people aren't cast on the show for, you know, them not having a nuclear family. So,
I mean...
You know, it is more likely that it would, you know, everybody's parents would be together and somebody would be kind of divorced or something. I mean, of all the families that have been, you know, on the show, more parents have been dead than they've been divorced. Sorry, that sounded really...
Wow, yeah.
Dark. Wow.
This is something to celebrate. 100 episodes!
Hey, it's all right.
Dean shows you exactly how far you can go. Being a pretty good person by yourself, but having the entire family, you know, wildly flawed. And there's no wildly flawed about it. Dean's family might be the worst family I've seen in 9-10 years of watching the show. He might have the most terrifying hometown. And, like, we'll get to it. We're going to talk about it.
Yeah.
But they're, like, it's worse because he's trying.
Right.
His dad is worse because he's trying to be good.
Yeah.
And this is just as good as he gets.
Right.
There's no, like, he's not trying to be bad or anything. He's being sincere.
Yeah.
He just, you'd never want to spend a second with him.
Well, and then the other thing is that, I have so much to say. And, you know, the one thing that I'll say, and then we can move on, is that what I do appreciate among all of the other stuff that's going on is that at least, you know, we're seeing an experience on this show where, you know, the relationship between the contestant and the parents is not ideal. Because every other time we always see, you know, oh, I love my parents and my parents are great, blah, blah, blah. Everybody isn't living that kind of experience. And at least I will say that it is nice to see an experience that is a little bit more realistic for what everybody else is going through.
Nice to see that.
Yeah. I mean, representation matters, fam. I mean, whether it's, you know,
some kind of sadist over here. Nice to see this family falling apart.
Not like I'm so thrilled to see a dysfunctional family. It's, you know, it is refreshing to see that families and relationships and people come in all shapes and sizes. And this is part of that.
No relationship comes in Dean's family size, obviously.
Questionable.
It'd be impossible to be in that.
Let's talk about my best friend, Eric.
Let's go to Baltimore for Eric's hometown.
We're going to be more. You guys watch The Wire?
How many times do you think somebody has gone to Baltimore and been like, it's just like The Wire here, right?
I bet it every happens time. Every time. Every time. And you know what? Baltimore is kind of like The Wire, because The Wire is scary, and Baltimore is scary in some places.
Yeah. The place that Eric grew up.
Well, yes.
The place, allegedly. We don't really know. We didn't really see it.
Well, and
he told us about it, but we didn't actually see it.
He did. We didn't actually see it. So, we go to Baltimore. Eric is very excited, and Rachel's body language with Eric is also very excited. She is laying on him. She's sitting on him.
She's lying on him.
Really? This is the 100th episode. I can do whatever I want.
Doesn't matter how many episodes we've done. That's how you talk. Don't look at me like, don't give me those mean eyes.
So the body language between the two of them is very cute. Rachel is murdering the half tuck today.
Eric is good, man.
Eric is so good when he's good.
Eric is fantastic.
He's unbeatable.
He's as good as Peter. I wouldn't say unbeatable. He is as good as Peter.
I mean, he's good. The openness, the vulnerability, the, you know, talking about his experience, the, you know, and you can see that she's like, she's really into that. And
yeah,
I mean, at this point, you know, there is no opportunity for him to compete with anybody else. Like, you know how on the show.
The bad Eric part is just gone away.
Exactly. Because he's not, you know, when you see other people constantly that you're competing with, you know, the living with other people, the talking to other people.
The not seeing her part.
That, you know, now every time that he sees her, it is a quote unquote one-on-one date. So he doesn't have to feel like, oh, she doesn't like me. Because every time that they see each other, she's focused solely on him. So, you know, he's being his best self. And it's so refreshing. It's so good.
Good Eric is good enough to win the show.
A bingo.
Bad Eric is no longer on the show. He's done.
I don't know who Bad Eric is.
They left him in the wherever the last place they stayed was.
So let's tell you about the date. So they go to some parts of Baltimore and, you know, they're cute together. It's all very fantastic. And then he takes her sort of to his neighborhood where he was growing up.
Allegedly.
So they play some basketball. One of his really good friends joins them. And, you know, Rachel loves playing basketball. It's all very cute.
He's not... He got these fresh white Stan Smiths on.
The freshest.
Wait, side note. I wore those shoes to work today.
You did?
Not knowing they were going to be on The Bachelorette tonight, I wore those. I wore those to work today because I'm in style. Just like these gentlemen on national television on a dating show.
Look at how fashionable you are. And maybe if we can get you a Henley that actually fits, we could finally get you out of your box.
This show isn't about that.
So, I think this was really wonderful. And, you know, they had a conversation about how Eric was growing up and he said, you know, everybody was, you know, in all these bad situations, bad meaning, you know, in and out of jail, selling drugs, in with the wrong crowd. And it was sort of Eric's job to take care of everybody, but no one took care of Eric. And this was a really poignant thing that Rachel said to him that I said, okay, she's really into him. She said, would you let me help you and be there for you? And will you let me take care of you? There's a difference between when you say to somebody, can I take care of you? And will you let me take care of you? And that was a big moment for the two of them.
I think that was the only problem for Eric in this entire date.
What?
He gave her the speech. He's like, I'm all on my own. I did this like... My mom did it on her own, and I can do it on my own. I don't need other people.
Well, I don't think that's what he said. I think he said he had grown up in an existence where that was the case, where he felt like he didn't need anybody, and now he is changing. He is evolving as a human being.
Oh, I get it. I mean, Eric had the best hometown. Of the four guys...
The best!
Of the four guys, Eric had by far the best one.
No one had a better hometown than Eric.
The only minor flaw was that...
I mean, he got called second for crying out loud. Don't get me started on that.
Whatever.
I mean, don't have time. We're going to cuss him. We're going to cuss Brian out very quickly.
It's not Brian's fault.
It is Brian's fault.
No. They're gonna set up Brian to do the second place fall. Like the classic first loser situation. Anyway, so here's something that's interesting about Eric's hometown.
Mm-hmm.
His parents, not nearly as cool as his aunt. Or as televisable... Or as warm to Rachel, I think, as his aunt.
Sure.
Who does probably the best job of any of the four of them in terms of, like, having a family member who's involved and, like, right. Cool.
And I really appreciated her asking the question, like, okay, so you're the first black bachelorette. Like, how is it going? Like, what is happening? I thought that was a nice thing for her to ask her because I'm sure that she hasn't been asked that yet. And... She gave a great answer. It's a lot of pressure for her to be under to try to pick, you know, an African-American person from the African-American community. And it's a tough choice for her to be under all this scrutiny from all of these other people. So it's, you know, that was a great thing for her to bring up.
So we go from Eric's family, who loves Rachel, who doesn't question her, who doesn't, like, grill her, who just celebrates her.
And his parents were really great. And, you know, it seemed like Eric had a really interesting conversation with his mother. There was no, like, passive aggression there about their relationship and what she had or hadn't done with him. She was very open about it. He was very open about it. And it seemed, you know, it was a really good hometown date compared to everybody else's.
Yeah. So we go from this to Brian's family, who is... much more inquisitive and less celebratory.
What I wrote under Brian's name was, this guy.
So we go to Miami, and yes. we do these things, like we speak Spanish and play dominoes, and...
it's all very sexy.
It's like the first time Brian's ever played dominoes, because they're losing by a million. He doesn't really even know how to play.
He doesn't it looks know how like. To play, no.
They're just trying to do things that are stereotypically Miami-ian.
Nice, that was a good word.
I tried to get it together,
yeah. It was good. So it seems like Brian is nervous. There's a lot of conversation about his mother based on... the last relationship that he had, about how it didn't work out with his mom, and oh boy, did we see why.
What drama?
Brian's mom is a psychopath.
You know?
She's like, listen, I am in love with Brian. If he could marry me, he should, because that's what I want. He's the most important thing in my life. A classic only child syndrome.
Thank you so much for bringing it up so I didn't have to.
Yeah, here's the door opening for you.
Thank you. Brian's an only child, come to find out, and now we know why he's insane. And now we know why his family is so invested in him finding the right person, because... this is all they have.
Yeah. Mom's like, listen, Brian's the most precious thing that I have in my life. I'm like, great. You just said I and mine, you know, she, this is about
right,
her.
Right. This is about Rachel. So, you know, the thing that I think about when I see this is that, you know, Rachel, your life is going to be like this. Your life is going to be this mother sort of saying snide things behind her back about you because, you know, she doesn't think you're doing well enough, or that, you know, Brian isn't eating, or Brian isn't getting the right kind of haircut, or, you know, that kind of thing. It is, it's really hard to be an only child. And I always feel like I'm under a lot of scrutiny because I'm helicopter parents. So, you know what? Brian, live your best life. We still hate you. Rachel, please don't pick him. Now that's all I have to say.
So it's really strange because Brian's mom sits down with Rachel and she's like, listen, what do you like about my son? What do you think he's doing? Like, she's very, like, puts her on the stand for it. And then she sits down with Brian and she's not even like, listen, you're great. Why are you into this girl? She's like, listen, you're kind of a whore.
Right.
So how do you know?
Right. Right.
It was strange to me that she said that to him. She's like, listen, you love everyone.
Right. That was weird, right?
She just thinks she's awesome and she hates everyone.
You know, and then Rachel said, which really bothered me, I never had a guy treat me like Brian. Okay, you know that you've been on a game show for at least the last 6 weeks, and the treats that Brian is treating you to are all paid for by the producers of The Bachelor. So, no, Brian is not treating you to a trip to Switzerland.
And another thing, the Brian game, it works only on the person it's targeted on. And everyone else looks at it and goes, how could you possibly fall for this, you idiot?
Which is why I'm so excited to see Rachel's sister next week just poop all over this young man.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
Rachel's family is going to see Brian and just hate all of
it. Devour him.
It's impossible to like
devour
this.
Devour him.
When you are not the absolute target of it. You hate it.
Yeah.
It's so sleazy.
Oh, God. It's going to be great.
Do you have anything else to say about Brian?
No, because
did we do some research into his cheek implants? Are they real?
Unclear.
Okay. TBD on the cheek implants.
TBD, we'll get back to you. If it's not cheek implants, it's definitely Botox.
Yeah, something unnatural is
happening. Something is happening.
Inside his face.
Yeah, something's happening. Something's happening. So next up, we have our best friend, Peter.
They made this look, like last week and the weeks before, they made this look like it was going to be a disaster.
Adam, talk about the edit. Talk about the edit.
So here's what you would think is going to happen.
Right.
Is that she's going to sit down with Peter's parents and they're going to be like, yeah, he's not ready. Like,
yeah, he's not ready to get married.
He's a good guy, I guess, but he's not ready.
Right. So what? That's not at all. Tell us what actually happened.
All of Peter's friends are black.
When Peter's black friends came into the room, I said, oh, God. Yes.
No, so here's what actually happened is they definitely have a clip of his mom saying something like...
not necessarily.
He's not ready. Well, no, they have a clip of her saying, he's not ready.
Uh-huh.
But we don't know the question that led up to
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
They could have been like, you think Peter's ready to end this date? Or whatever. Like, I don't know what they asked her.
Right.
They very clearly did not ask her the question, like, is Peter ready to propose right now? They asked her something else, and she said, Peter's not ready. Not necessarily,
exactly. And, I mean, it was something like, you know, do you think... It wasn't... It was just another example of this season of the show editing very carefully to show us one thing, and then come to find out a whole other thing is happening.
So, yeah, it's like... It's been a long time since this has been obvious, but, like, the march toward Peter just continues to bang on, and there's nothing they can do about it. They just have to make it look like it's competitive.
Yeah.
And that's what they're trying to do. It's not their fault. It's a necessity of TV, but Peter has this thing won.
I loved how when Rachel showed up, he said to her, welcome home. Very smooth. Very sexy. I adored that. All I pretty much want to say is listen to your black friends, Peter. Don't blow this. Please don't blow this. His family was really nice and open. His mom's back tattoo of a phoenix was just gorgeous.
It's like back and neck and shoulders. It was shoulders
back, neck, and
like,
shoulder, for sure. Ear, nose, and throat.
What do you think it is?
I think it's a phoenix.
Where do you think it starts?
I think it starts at the bra line.
It just goes up?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And it's probably, it touches her neck just a little bit, you know?
I think it's really supportive of Peter.
Two wings?
I think it's really supportive of Peter's mother that she went out and just got the same haircut as Peter.
Totally.
Like, in an act of solitude.
Right. She's like, we're both going gray. Let's do this together.
Let's do it together. I think that's just really, it's something you only see in the Midwest, really, mothers supporting their single sons with tandem haircuts.
Bingo.
You just don't see that a lot.
Bingo. The one thing that worried me is that, you know, Peter was very hung up on the, you know, I don't know if I can propose. I don't want to propose. Like, I'm not ready, blah, blah, blah. And I thought to myself, I mean, do we need a proposal right now? And then immediately after, Rachel said, I want somebody to propose to me. I don't want a boyfriend at the end of this. I said, God. If you just bent a little bit.
I don't think that's real with Peter. I think they're literally just making him say it. I think they're sitting him down and saying, listen.
We need you to be unsure.
It's really clear that you're going to win, so we got to make something up. So when we turn the cameras on, you just need to act like you're, I guess, not into it and, like, create doubt, I guess.
Right.
I think they're just forcing that in there. I don't. Totally. That's not real at all. You don't join this show, this competition, unless you're ready to get married to somebody. Or, like, ready to get... fake TV married to somebody, sure. Which is all anybody ever does.
Sure. I just don't want Peter to blow it. I don't want to get all the way here and have all of this, like, built up, pent up relationship that I have built with him for him to just blow it. I don't want that to happen because I don't know if I'll ever forgive myself.
I don't think he's going to blow it, though. I think either Eric's going to beat him or he's going to win. There's no, he's not going to blow it. Because Eric is like, pushing hard, right?
He is. Eric is like, Seabiscuit, so like, out of here.
Dean already lost, whatever, and we know that Brian's running out of steam because he's about to get destroyed by her family.
Yes, and her family is very important to her.
I think Peter's performing at a high level, and then he's just not used to somebody with Eric's ceiling competing against him.
Well, I mean,
now that Eric's seeing that ceiling, it's just... It's going to be tougher.
Well, and then, you know, there's not a lot of interaction between the guys anymore. So
it's over.
So, you know, he doesn't know where he stands still. And, you know, Peter could conceivably get into his own head, as they always like to say on the show. I'm in my own head. I got to get out of my head. Like, what are you talking about? I just don't want him to blow it. And, you know, let these feels be real feels, Pete.
You don't have to do it with your mouth. We'll do it with the in post.
I like both.
Yeah, I know. Let's go to Aspen.
Oh, boy.
So this is the, you know, like, this. Unfortunately, this is the worst one, but it's also, in some ways, the best one to watch on TV.
Why would you say it's the best one to watch on TV, Adam?
Because Dean's dad is... the most entertaining person we've had of a hometown date
in a long time, since
I've been watching this show.
So Dean hasn't seen his dad in 2 years. His father has remarried recently. And he is really nervous about Rachel meeting his family. So his it's his brother, he said, his two brothers and his sister, and then I think his brother's wife, and then, you know, his dad and his dad's wife. Something, some sort of combination like that. So
yeah, there's a lot of people there, and they're all,
yes,
in some way, I guess, related to him.
Yes. So it seems as though the evening starts very sort of very normally. This is like, and maybe this is a normal thing for us, two people who have lived in California for a very long period of time.
What starts off normally?
Well, here's what I'll say. We are two people who have lived in California for a long period of time. You know, this basically looks like a very long yoga class that I've been to in Coal Valley. Like, I am not shocked by the experience that Dean's dad is having. I'm not.
Okay.
So maybe people in other cities might be more shocked than I am.
Nah, I mean, when you knock on somebody's door and they open it and you're like, you guys are all sitting on the floor. And dad goes, yeah, we don't do tables. That's not normal. That's not normal.
Okay.
Fine. And that was like the first thing they said.
Okay. And then, you know, it's so interesting to see how the rest of the family dresses and then to see how Dean dresses. Because that is also a, you know, he's made a choice there.
Oh, he is the prodigal son for sure.
He has made a choice about who he is and who he wants to be.
I think the other kids are like more on Dean's side than on dad's side.
Agreed. Right? Agreed. I mean,
this
is
a whole family reunion.
The sister was very clear about that. The sister was like, Dean is like the strongest person I know. He's great. He's amazing. He's this, he's that. And like, you know, the music that they used in the background of it, this sort of sitar experience that The Bachelor edited in, was very disrespectful. However, you know, as the beginning of the hometown date went on, you know, you could tell Dean's dad was still really upset about his wife passing away. And, you know, Dean was kind of like, okay, don't fall for all this garbage that he's trying to spew to you. That, you know, this is not a man who's still wounded. This is a man who, you know, basically left me as a child. And that's a hard thing to forgive a parent for. And Dean is going through it.
Dean is definitely having a bad time. It's weird. So the whole thing is just very weird. Because, like, it is impossible to like Dean's dad.
Yes.
But you have to sorry for him a little
bit,
too.
Yeah, I do. I feel he's like a little bit misunderstood. Like,
he's like kind of quiet. He doesn't look at people or look in the camera, which is very strange. His eyes are just kind of all over the place.
He's an Aquarian,
which is weird. His name's Paramuke, you know.
Like, you wrote that down?
Yeah, like your friend Paramuke.
Yeah, my friend.
Well, like, on our listeners, everyone's,
it's a chosen name.
Like everyone's friend Paramuke.
It was a chosen name.
His wife's name is Sintantar.
Okay.
Because when you meet a woman named Sintantar, how can you say no? That's what I always say.
Yes.
I'm always saying that. So the experience with Dean's dad is just very strange. It's very hard to like him, especially if you know what like he has done to Dean, apparently. Very hard to like him. But it's very hard to, like, hate him.
Yeah.
You just really feel uncomfortable with him being around.
Right. And, you know, I think the conversation that Dean and his dad had, I for sure believe that they probably should have had that conversation, just not on television. And not at a moment where Dean's dad was supposed to be meeting Rachel and all that kind of stuff. So Dean and his dad had a fight basically about, like, you weren't here for me. And Dean's dad was like, why won't you forgive me and let this go? This is not a big deal anymore. And Dean is still holding on to it. I mean, it's been 10 plus years where he's probably needed some pretty intense therapy to deal with this stuff. Then Dean's dad goes outside and Rachel says, hey, can I talk to you for a minute? Very sweetly, very innocently, like not even thinking of anything that happened. And Dean's dad, quote of the episode, if you must.
Yeah. So Dean's dad just goes, if you must.
If you must. And, you know, she tries to have a conversation with him about, like, her intentions with Dean and, like, what's going on. And
no, he's not happy.
He is not interested.
It's over. And, like, it's, so you kind of feel a little bit bad for him. You're like, you know what? He's really, like, this is a lot for a person. But then you feel really bad for Rachel because you're like, she came here to, like, talk
to
you.
Yeah,
and you're not even going to talk to
her. Not even going to give her the benefit of the doubt or, like, try to put on some kind of face.
He's
and
so weird.
He was just, like, so not... He was totally taken out of it.
If you didn't watch this episode, Dean's dad is, like, he's at dad age. He's probably, I don't know, like, 50 or so. It's like, a turban and, like, he wears kind of a, like, gown, and they match. They're both purple and everything. And he's very, like, mystical. He plays the gong when they walk in. Everybody lies on pillows. It's a very different experience than
everybody else's home that they've been to? Yeah.
Yeah, and it's just weird for Rachel. You cannot help but be very uncomfortable for Rachel. Not like in a... She could be, like, she's in harm's way or anything. It's just... strange. It's just weird.
Well, it is different from what she is used to, but you know what? I will say she walked in there and was very open to the experience. She did not, you know, balk or anything like that. I think if Dean had been more comfortable, she probably would have been more comfortable.
Yeah, but Dean's just not comfortable, and that's just the way it is.
Right, and he never will be. I mean, even with all of the family being together, this is probably the last time he's going to come home.
Oh, poor Dean.
I feel really bad for him. And you know what? The other thing I want to talk about, do you think the producers put him up to this? Because he seems like a really impressionable individual. And as we talked about, like, you know, other people have, you know, had challenging relationships with their families and have decided and chosen not to bring the bachelor or the bachelorette home with them. You know, those are things that you talk to the producers about. Like, you talk to them about that early on and you say, hey, my family's not great. Like, I really don't want to bring them in. Like, this is going to be weird. And the family and the producers are probably all like, what do you mean? What do you mean by weird? And, you know, the more he talks about it, they're probably like, this is television gold. We have to convince him to do this. And Dean, being an impressionable 25-year-old person, decides, oh, yeah, this will be fine. I'm not going to go back and work as a recruiter at Snapchat. This will be fine. I'll put my dad on here.
It's so hard. If you didn't see this episode, you should just look up what Dean's dad looks like. It's so hard for me to imagine, like, Dean's life being the same after people know what his family is like.
Oh, yeah.
Even with his, like, friends, it can't be the same.
Well, I mean, he hasn't seen them in 2 years, so I can... And if he's
acting they're not a part of his life.
And if he's acting like this on television about them, like, not wanting to give up information and, you know, talk to anybody about them, like, imagine what people that actually know him, like, know about his family. Ugh, Dean, this did not go well.
It's bad news for Dean. And I think he knew it was going to be like this, too.
Yeah, and his dad kind of ruined everything.
You've seen this coming for a couple of episodes now, where Dean's like, so hometowns, right? This is going to be awkward.
And Rachel's like, oh, no, it'll be fine. It's like, ugh, girl.
No, it was awkward. No. It was the worst. It was the end of everything for Dean.
It was the end of everything. And then we get to Dallas for the rose ceremony, and...
Guess what? Dean loses.
Wah, 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 wah.
And Dean loses. Yeah. I mean, what else do you say? Like, it was kind of, I mean, wow, man.
Yeah.
I was hoping, I mean, I don't know what I was hoping with Dean. I feel like this is about as good as he could get. He's better than Brian, but she's, for some reason, into it.
I don't want to talk about it.
Eric and Peter, whatever. Those guys are going to beat him.
Yeah, I hope so.
But Brian.
Brian. So, who are your power rankings this week? I'm sure ours are the same.
Yeah, Brian's third.
Yeah.
Eric's second.
Yep.
Peter's first.
Boom. So, bold predictions for next week. What do you think is going to happen? So, very obviously, Rachel is going to take the guys to her hometown to meet her family before they travel to Spain to...
So, Brian's going to lose. It seems clear enough.
Uh-huh.
They've only shown us a couple of clips, and they do love to lie to us.
They do.
Brian is going to lose because her family doesn't buy into the Brian thing. Because no one should. Because it's fake.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And Eric is just... Eric is riding this high. Eric has been great.
Yeah.
The last 2-3 episodes.
More than that, I would say.
Eric's really... Like, he's gotten the bad Eric thing out. And he's just all good Eric all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's Peter to lose. I think again, it's one of the things where, you know, we might see at the tail end that Peter is going to come out of the woodwork and say, I'm so sorry I didn't tell you this sooner, but I knew that I wanted to be with you for the rest of my life. You know, another thing to think about, you know, it always seems like there is a situation where the bachelor or the bachelorette comes to the end of this thing and says, you know, I have to let this person go because they didn't offer up their feelings to me in enough time or something. But do people change their minds at the last minute? Like, you know, does somebody come out of the limo and somebody says something that, you know, changes your whole life and your outlook on something, and somebody you thought you weren't going to pick, you now say, yes, this is what I've been waiting for you to say, and I want to pick you.
I think it is probable that they all get out of the limo or whatever, and somebody says, and she says to the producers, I'm going to pick Peter. And they go, all right, we're going to make Eric the next bachelor. And so she sends Eric home next.
I think that 100%.
I think that's probable.
I mean, honey, you are just confirming my conspiracy theory from Rachel from last season.
No,
my conspiracy.
Right, well, yeah.
Drama.
No, because you said you thought she was going to win. And they said, no, you can't win because you're going to be the next bachelorette.
Said that to Nick. They said, you can't pick her.
Well, no, I think she's going to say to them, I'm going to pick Peter. And then they say, okay, we counter with, without Peter, we'd like Eric next.
Oh, to be
kicked off
next.
So you send him third.
I see.
No, they say, we want this person to be the franchise player next season.
I see.
So you kick him off third.
Oh, I agree that there is a conversation that's happening.
So that's what's going to, and then like.
Do you think Eric could be a good bachelor?
I think he'd be better than Brian, and there are only two other options.
I don't think Eric would be a good bachelor.
I think Ben Z is the best.
I am caggling at the option of Ben Z being the bachelor.
I think Ben Z is the front runner for this.
Followed
by Leslie Murphy, followed by Eric.
Okay, you guys are following Ben Z on Instagram, right? Like, follow Ben Z on Instagram. He loves his dog.
He's got it together.
He's crazy hot. He's got it together. He lives in San Jose. Like, what more do we want from Ben Z? He didn't go back to Bachelor in Paradise. That is something to think about.
Because he's going to be the next Bachelor.
Oof, yes, Adam. God, I hope so.
But there's no bold prediction we made. He's the best available.
He's the best of us. I mean,
I like Ben Z. He's better than, assuming that Peter is off the table.
Right.
He is better
because
than.
Because Peter is off the table, Adam. Don't even put that in the universe.
He is better than Brian and Eric.
Yeah.
Ben Z is.
Yeah. Yeah.
And also Leslie Murphy is. I don't know why we keep glossing over this.
Because Leslie Murphy is not going to be the bachelorette because she has...
No. The Bachelor is what I'm saying.
Oh, I see. I think that would involve a number of other surgeries that she hasn't had yet.
I'm just saying.
Yes.
She has had some other surgeries, though. That's true.
Not involuntary. Necessary for her long-term health.
I don't know, but...
glad that she's better.
The first one's necessary. The other one's for fun. Anyway, do you have anything else to say? Any bold predictions?
My main bold prediction is, you know, I don't think Brian's going home, but I think that Rachel is probably going to have a conversation with him that's like, you better straighten up and fly right, fam.
He's not going home. He's even worse. He's going to get second. The worst place. I mean, third is way better than second.
If Brian wins, I don't know what
that's
I'm going
to
do.
That's not an
option. I don't know what I'm going
to
do.
She has to see through. It's not an option.
She has to. Like, I mean... I'm so conflicted.
If Peter gets second, Peter could be the next Bachelor.
Oh, well,
make an exception.
Hands down.
At this point, Peter is going to win something.
Yeah, Peter will win.
Something. Yeah, he's going to win her.
He has
or he's
to
going
be
to
with
win
Rachel. Like, there's nobody else that he could be with. It's her.
Guys. That's the show. That is our
100th
century mark show.
Yay!
I guess you gotta listen for, like, 900 more before we get to the next extra digit. It'll only take us, forever?
5 more years. It'll only take us 5 more years to get to 200.
Yeah, and like 45 more years.
Yay!
To get to 1,000. Yay!
Yay!
There you go.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks.
We love you. We'll see you next week.
Oh, you don't know?
I told you that.
I just like to keep it 100 and keep it real.
Great smile.
I know my mom.
I could actually have a ring on my finger. I've never had one before.
I just saw the shark.
This finger is ready.
I told you that.
I just like to keep it 100 and keep it real.
Great smile.
I know my mom.
I could actually have a ring on my finger. I've never had one before.
I just saw the shark.
This finger is ready.